And welcome to the Vincent Moreland Show. More land, more sports. Carwin, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always a fun time to be able to be on Vincent's show.
On the More Land Show.
Oh, yeah. More land.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about getting someone else on here, but, you know, I was kind of, you know, I wasn't sure what I was going to do all week because, you know, we were going to do this on Monday or Tuesday, but then my schedule kind of got a little full and,
dang it,
you know, just a whole bunch of stuff going on right now. But it's, you know, we're doing all right. We're doing all right now, Carwin. The Ravens aren't. The Broncos aren't. No, they're in big trouble. And the Colts, they're in big trouble as well. Who?
The Colts.
The Colts? Why are the Colts in trouble? Oh, Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd rather lose my starting running back than 18 players on my team.
Wait. The Broncos lost Drew Lock?
They lost all four of their quarterbacks. They're not going to have a starting quarterback play quarterback this week.
The Broncos?
Yeah, so Jeff Driscoll, I guess you weren't aware, Jeff Driscoll caught COVID. And then they deemed Brett Ripien and Drew Lock and practice squad quarterback, listen to this, Blake Bortles, as close contacts. So Hinton, I don't know his first name, for the Broncos, is going to be playing quarterback. Kendall Hinton is an option. Or third string running back Royce Freeman.
What? Are you serious?
Yes.
They can't suspend the game?
Huh?
They can't suspend the game?
No. No, all three quarterbacks are inactive this week. Or all four quarterbacks are inactive this week for the Broncos. They can't even bring up Blake Bortles from the practice squad.
Wait, did any of the players that you named, have they ever played quarterback before?
So Hinton, Kendall Hinton played quarterback at Wake Forest.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Is he black?
Yes, he's black.
Oh, okay. I might have to pick him up. Was he any good?
I don't know. I mean, if he looked anything like Jacoby Myers, maybe.
I'm wondering, like, imagine if you picked up Royce Freeman when he gets announced QB, and then you put him in your running back spot, and you like, yeah. But he doesn't have a good matchup. He's not playing. He's playing the Saints.
Yeah. So, all right. So, according to touchdownwire.usatoday.com, Hinton appeared in 22 games over four seasons as a college quarterback. He threw his most passes as a freshman in 2015, going 93 for 177, which isn't the best, but, you know, it's not too bad, for 929 yards with four touchdown passes and four interceptions.
Wait, what? Wait, say that he completed 93 passes for 177 yards?
No, he completed 93 out of 177 passes.
Oh! Okay.
For 929 yards.
Oh. Yeah. And how many, in 22 games, he can only get 999 yards passing?
Yeah, well, he appeared in 22 games over four seasons. Yeah, as a college quarterback, I guess so. Maybe he was like a backup and didn't probably play all of those games or something, you know. So 93 out of 177, that's a 53% completion percentage.
They might just have the ball every snap.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing though, like, Hinton's a guy I've never even heard of before. This guy's a special teamer. But you know, he's kind of like Matthew Slater, you know, like, he's a wide receiver, but he's a guy that'll never touch the field as a wide receiver, you know?
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, some punters are good at playing quarterback.
Yeah, well, the punter on this team was enlisted as wasn't listed as the option. So it's either going to be Royce Freeman or Kendall Hinton. They were saying expect a lot of wildcat formation from Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon as well.
Too bad they don't have a Greg Ward Jr.
I was going to say, too bad they don't have Taysom Hill.
Yeah, because Greg Ward Jr., I thought he was pretty decent when he played for University of Houston.
I didn't know Greg Ward used to play quarterback.
Yeah, so if he was on the Broncos, I think he'd do pretty well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember back when Joe Flacco was playing, when him and Tyrod were the quarterbacks, they said the emergency quarterback would be Anquan Boldin.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, apparently. I'm just...
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
I was about to say they didn't have Tyrod, but I forgot you just said it, Flacco and Tyrod.
Yeah. So,
I'm really interested in seeing how this plays out.
Yeah, isn't this crazy, Carlin?
Yeah.
Like, the Broncos will not have a quarterback this week. If you have if the Saints defense, for any reason, if they're available in your league...
They're not.
Yeah. If for any reason they're available in the league, pick them up. They're playing against a team that doesn't have a starting quarterback this week.
And I got them. I was the fifth spot on the waiver priority, and I got them. That's crazy.
That's good, Carlin. But yeah, I picked up Royce Freeman in a couple of weeks, but then I found out Hinton will probably be the quarterback, so I was like, nah, forget that.
What happened?
I want to get into COVID a little bit more. So the San Francisco 49ers, they don't have a stadium to play in right now.
What?
Yeah, so the mayor is banning contact sports in the Bay Area. So in Santa Clara County, which is where the 49ers stadium's at, Levi's Stadium, the 49ers are banned from playing there for now. James Williams, let's see. Council for Santa Clara County. I guess maybe that's like a county executive or something. According to ESPN, that like the 49ers will not be able to host games in Santa Clara County. So you know, they're not going to allow any contact sports in that county. So the 49ers have to find a new place to practice and a new place to play. And they have two home games coming up soon, within the next 3 weeks.
How long is he shutting it down for?
I have no clue. But luckily, the 49ers have a road game against the Rams, so they'll have a little over a week to prepare for this. Yeah, it's not going to be pretty.
You know, man.
And then. Imagine what
if John Elway stepped out there and started throwing the ball.
Oh yeah, in Denver.
Yeah. I don't think
that would be hilarious.
But I don't think that's allowed though.
Yeah. So you have the Broncos who don't have a starting quarterback this week. You have the 49ers that are going to be looking for a new place to play their home games for a few weeks, and now you have the Ravens that have 18 players on the COVID list. 18 players. That's horrible.
Just don't get it. Are you guys not following the protocol or something? Like, why?
I don't know what they're doing, but it's like people all over the team. We only have six offensive linemen and three defensive linemen available this week.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Somebody's not following the protocol because there's no reason why these specific teams are getting this happen to them, but the other 28 teams in the NFL, I'm sure, like everybody, almost every team will have a few minor things, but like for the way that as major as it is for these teams, like somebody's not following the proper protocols.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know they keep blaming it on like our strength and conditioning coach. Steve Saunders.
Oh.
What are you going to say? What did he do?
Yeah.
I don't think he would like wear like his mask to practice and stuff. I'm trying to find an article about it just so I'm not like speaking BS. So like he didn't report symptoms, and he didn't consistently wear a mask and a tracker, according to USA Today. In an article written by Matthew Stevens. So you had the game that was supposed to be on Thanksgiving. They got moved to Sunday. That got moved to Tuesday. And now you have Steeler players testing positive. You know, all those Steelers that were talking that trash about us. And now they're getting COVID cases. So now who looks silly on this one? You have James Conner now, who's the leading guy. The main guy that has COVID that won't be able to play this weekend. And this guy just beat cancer not too long ago. So, you know, I hope he does well. He's actually one that I'm actually worried about. Everyone else that seems to be affected with this, at least in terms of, like, players, I think they'll be fine. But Connor, you know, he's had a medical history, you know. So you have to keep an eye on him. So he's not gonna play. Lamar Jackson not gonna play. Trace McSorley is not gonna play. It's gonna be RG3 is the quarterback. You know, we're not gonna have a fullback this week. We're not gonna have a long snapper. We're not gonna have a lot of things this week. The Ravens won't. They're not gonna have O-line, good D-line. I'll tell you what, it creates a lot of questions for fantasy this week. It's kind of just like screw it at this point, you know. But yeah,
Jerry Jeudy said he'll get his Lamar Jackson on him.
Jerry Jeudy said that.
Yeah, so you might want to start him.
They might have him in Wildcat formation too. They'll probably mess around with those receivers. They're gonna. I don't know, man. I would avoid any Broncos skill position players this week in fantasy. If I have Fant, Jeudy, Patrick, Hamler, Lindsey, Gordon, I don't want any of them in my starting lineup this week. Well, Gordon and Lindsey might be different because they'll probably be utilized more, especially in the quarterback position.
Right. Yo, imagine if they mess around and end up beating the Saints. That'd be like the wildest story.
That would be the most embarrassing victory. Or the most embarrassing loss in Saints history.
Yeah.
You lose to a team that didn't have a starting quarterback. Yeah.
Imagine if the quarterback comes out and plays so good that he replaces Drew Lock.
No, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, I know, I'm just saying.
I bet you there's probably not even a betting line for this game anymore. No, there's not.
There's not, dang.
There's no betting line for this game anymore.
Because when I was looking at them earlier, it had the over under really low. It was like a 43 or something.
Mm-hmm. I would have taken that.
Yeah, and I was thinking about taking it, but obviously it's not there now. So.
Yeah, my dad was like, "Could you imagine if you would have bet on this game like last week?" Can you imagine you would bet on the Saints under they give you money. For them to win by the point spread?
Would they give?
Yeah, they would still give it to you because you already put in your money for it, you know? I think I lost Carwin for a second. Carwin. Oh, God.
Oh, my bad. This whole time I was talking, you couldn't hear me?
No.
Oh, I was saying, do they give you your money back if you say, like, you don't want anything to do with that game anymore?
No, once you make your bet, you make your bet.
Oh, that's not fair.
Yeah, it is fair. I mean, that's the thing with gambling. You're taking a chance.
I guess.
That's why whenever I do it, and I keep saying this, I should not be promoting gambling on this show, even though I do every week. I wait till the end of the week. Just, you know, because I like to see what's going to go on. Say I bet on the Ravens to beat the Steelers last week on Monday. Then I find out all these players aren't playing. I'm like, well, shoot, I'm going to lose my money now. Lamar's not playing. half of my D-line's not playing. I'm only going to have six offensive linemen available for this game for T.J. Watt and all those boys that run over, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about these games real quick.
All right. I got the Saints beating the Broncos 42-0.
Okay. I'll get there in a second. All right. How about the Texans winning against the Detroit Lions? Oh, Matt Patricia and the GM of the Detroit Lions got fired today as well.
You know, it was a long time coming, Vincent and viewers. Matt Patricia had severely underwhelmed with his coaching of the Lions organization. And on top of that, the players didn't seem very fond of him. You had people that would leave the organization like Darius Slay calling him out and talking negatively about him. And that says a lot about him as a coach. And I even heard one rumor, like, I saw, like, the Giants team threw, like, a party to celebrate being away from him during, like, the off season or bye week or something. I forget which one it is. Did you hear about that?
I did not.
Yeah, so that's just, so when you just hear things like that, you just know, like, okay, their time is coming to an end as the head coach. So it was a long time coming with that. And Deshaun Watson, he's over the last 5 weeks, he's been one of the best QBs, top three at least. He's first in touchdown passes since week 5, the firing of Bill O'Brien, and first in passing yards. So it just goes to show the impact that Bill, the negative impact Bill O'Brien had on the organization and his play and his growth in his career. And Bill O'Brien's departure has elevated his play. And if you just, you get a good head coach in there next week, I don't know if they want to just keep Crennel in there or not, but if you do hire a new head coach, make sure it is a very good one, because you hire a head coach and he messes things up over there, you know that it's going to be his fault, not Deshaun Watson's, because we've seen too much greatness out of him. So if you hire, choose carefully what head coach and GM. There's a vacant GM spot in there too, since they stupidly made him Bill O'Brien GM too. So I think Eric Vieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, because there was talks about him being a head coach last year. So I think he should get that job if he tries to be a head coach again.
In Houston?
Yeah, I think they would be.
My friend Chris Giglio, he's been on the show a few times. He was actually talking about that, and I thought that would actually be pretty amazing.
I know.
You get Eric Vieniemy over there.
Yeah, that.
Get Deshaun Watson another receiver with Fuller and Cooks. You know, maybe a decent
Stills. Did you see that? They released Stills.
Yeah, they did. I could see him going back to Miami. I'd love for the Ravens to get him though.
But the Texans need help on defense too. J.J. Watt's not going to be there for that much more longer, and their secondary is like bottom of the barrel in the league. So they need to draft some defensive players in the draft.
Yeah. But the fact that you got rid of Stills, another guy that you acquired in a trade, giving up a draft pick for.
Yeah, just speaks for me.
Bill O'Brien ruined that franchise by himself. He ruined that franchise when he tried to start Tom Savage in Deshaun Watson's rookie year.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that last first week. Game.
Talked about that.
Imagine
last week,
if Hopkins was still there after, and they fired Bill O'Brien, and it was Watson and Hopkins together with Crennel still being their coach right now.
Mm-hmm. And even if you have those two with Bieniemy, you know, that'd be
cool. But just like looking at how he's playing right now, if he still had Hopkins after the firing, they would probably have playoff contention. But I don't think they have playoff contention anymore, do they? They got 4 wins now, and there's only.
They're 4-7. I mean, nothing's done. You know,
4 games left in the season.
It's not officially over.
Yeah, but it's
there's 6 games.
The Titans and Colts are already.
5 games left.
Wait, 5? Well, no, because they already. Oh wait, hold on. 13, 14.
Yeah, we're not talking about fantasy, bro.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying last game of the week is week 7. So 13, 14, 2, 15, 3. 16-4. Oh yeah, it is 5. Okay.
Yeah, 5 for them. 5 for them because they already played. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So the Houston offense putting up 41 this week. They put up how many last week, Carwin? They put up 27 last week.
Wait.
Against the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, they did. I was thinking about the game against the Browns. I guess the weather was responsible for that, huh?
Yeah, that's why I had them going over, man. I like Houston Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Duke Johnson, 9 carries, 37 yards, 4 yards a carry. I guess that's not too bad. Well, Will Fuller, though, 171 yards, 2 touchdowns, had a good game. Lions, they did their best. They didn't have their top 2 receivers. They didn't have their starting running back. So, I mean, it's kind of understandable why they lost this game. I would have had Houston winning this game without a doubt in my mind.
Right, right.
And then the Washington football team, Alex Smith and the boys, I should say Antonio Gibson and the boys, because he was the performer of the day, averaging 5.8 yards a carry with 3 touchdowns against Dallas. Meanwhile, Zeke Elliott went 10 for 32, 3.2 yards a carry, no touchdowns, and no catch.
And a fumble.
Either. Or he had 1 catch, 7 yards, and he fumbled. Yeah. That used to be your favorite running back. Oh, remember when I told you I didn't know who my favorite running back was?
Yeah, it's Phillip Lindsay.
It's actually Raheem Mostert. He's my favorite running back. No, because I was listening to my old podcast, and then I was like, Raheem Mostert's my favorite running back. And I was like, okay, that's fine. He can be my favorite running back.
Yeah, of course. As long as he produces for me, he can be my favorite running back. But he's up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I know I call Elliott garbage, but I think it's just a lost season overall for the Cowboys organization. I think he'll bounce back next year, but I think it's too late for him this year.
Remember in their rookie years, we were trying to figure out who carried who between Dak and Elliott?
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking Elliott was the one that was carrying Dak. But this year, it looks like Dak was the one that was carrying Elliott. Or maybe they just both carry each other in that offense.
Maybe they just both feed off of each other. But I would say if Dak was playing with that Elliott this year, I think they would be better. Versus,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Elliott. No,
mm-hmm. We know CeeDee Lamb would be better, too.
For sure. Because Pollard has some explosiveness to him. I think if Pollard would end up being the starting running back for the rest of the year, that wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, I know you're upset about J.D. McKissic not getting the volume that he was getting a couple weeks before.
Yeah, it's all right. You know, all I got to do now is drop him, and then I don't want nothing to do with him anymore. So, put him out of my life and then move on. You know?
Yeah. All right, so the Chargers are playing the Bills this week. The Chargers are 3-7, but they could. I'm not gonna say they could be 10-0, but like, there's a lot of games that they lost that they could have won this year, Carlin. Herbert has 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 2,700 yards passing, and that's one less game than Josh Allen has played this year. Josh Allen has 1 less touchdown, 1 more interception, and 171 more yards. So you can honestly make the argument that Herbert has had a better season than Josh Allen. What do you think?
Yeah, you can. The only difference is the wins.
Yeah.
Herbert's on Facebook.
The Chargers know how to blow leads, and the Bills know how to win close games.
Yeah. Like.
Austin Eckler's coming back tomorrow.
Well, he got activated off injury reserve, but Lynn still isn't committing to him actually playing in the game.
Yeah.
So hopefully he ends up playing a role. Because, you know, like the Eagles, they activated Alshon off injury reserve like week 7 or something, but he didn't actually get in the game until like week 10. So.
Fair enough. Yeah. But I have the Bills winning this game in another close one, and I can definitely see this game going over under 52 and a half.
Okay.
Oh, that's a low over under for these two teams.
Oh, juice, we can do
both of these teams. The Chargers average 26 a game. Bills average 27 a game. Okay, I guess that's slightly above the over under, but. Still, you know, the Chargers, they put up 34. They put up 21, 30 or 26, 30, 39. Bills put up 30, 44, 24, 18, 17. Recently, these two teams have been playing great offense. Give me the over on this one, but I would take the Bills in this one. I wouldn't take the 4.5-point spread, though. I think it'll be a little bit closer than that. I'm going to give the Bills 34 to 30.
Yeah, the Bills are going to do a number on the Chargers defense. The Chargers defense hasn't been very good, as evident by the lost leads that they have and all the super high-scoring games that they've engaged in.
Oh. Casey Hayward's out by
that way. Too. So I can definitely predict a shootout happening between these teams. Just the lack of defense by the Chargers. You always need Herbert to put up these gaudy numbers throughout his rookie year to keep them in the game. And but the Chargers are way better than their record defines them to be. And I think the Chargers can pull out a win against the Bills. Things are going to be high scoring and come down to the end. And I think the Chargers are due for another win just because they haven't had that many this year. It's just, I feel like it's just going to be that kind of game to where that team that's got the lesser amount of wins is due for that big win. And I think the Chargers can do that this week. So I got the Chargers winning this one. I don't think the Bills are going to be able to stop that potent offense that they have. This Chargers offense is very potent. They have Keenan Allen. They're getting Eckler back. Mike Williams, Henry, Bellage, dare I say. So I think they can put up some points against the overrated Bills defense. Because, I mean, a lot of people just think the Bills have this good, great defense because they have a couple good key players like Tre'Davious White and Micah Hyde. But they're not as good as you would think they are. They could be had. So I think the Chargers are going to pull this one out 35-31.
All right. So we both have 4-point games. Yeah. The Cardinals are playing the Patriots. Cardinals are a 2-point favorite. I would probably take that. I don't think the Patriots are all that good.
Whoa.
I really don't.
Whoa.
The over-under here is 49.5. I don't know.
This one's a little high.
I feel like the Patriots won't be able to do all much. Yeah, exactly. I don't think the Patriots are going to do all that much. Stephon Gilmore is questionable. I'm kind of worried about starting DeAndre Hopkins in fantasy, but that is the best receiver in the game. So, I mean, if DK Metcalf can make Stephon Gilmore look like his son, why can't DeAndre Hopkins do it? But give me the Cardinals on this one, 30-17. No, 30-20. They don't have the best defense. Give me the Cardinals 30-20.
Okay, got you. Davis, don't sleep too much on the Patriots. They're gradually getting better than these last few weeks. Ever since that game against the Jets, they've kind of picked up. They even beat your Baltimore Ravens. Who would have thought? I didn't. And then they went toe-to-toe with Deshaun Watson. They only lost by a touchdown or 3 points, something like that. I think it was 20-27.
Touchdown. So. Yeah, 27.
Yeah, so they're slowly, they're getting healthier. They got N'Keal Harry back. Not that that means the world, but it's something because they've been playing with practice squad and undrafted guys. So that means a little something. And I think Isaiah Ford might get some snaps for the first time since his trade from the Dolphins. And Kyler, we don't know how healthy that shoulder that he's throwing with, because remember he sprained his AC joint against Seattle in that Thursday night game. So we don't know what kind of percentage healthy he is coming back from that. And it could, as you saw in the game, it kind of hindered his zip and his throwing power and his ability to really push the ball down the field. And that's one of the strengths of their offense, him throwing those deep balls to Kirk and fitting in those tight windows to Hopkins. And also, if you're worried about that shoulder, that can also hinder your mentality to want to scamper away with the football and run and get some yards with your legs. So that's a really important aspect of his game. So a lot of it depends on if that shoulder is healthy or not. And on top of that, you know, you still can't deny the greatness of coaching that is Bill Belichick himself. They went further this year with, I think they have, 4 or 5 wins now? And that's 4 wins? Yeah, I think they got 4 wins, right, Vincent? Yeah,
4 and 5.
So, I mean, he's doing the most with what he has. And making the most of what they have, and they're only going to slowly get healthier gradually from here on out. But nonetheless, I still got the Cardinals winning the game, but I don't expect it to be as big a gap as you do. But nonetheless, I still have them winning 31-28. No, 31-27. Okay. Yep.
Okay. Hey, Demir Bird playing against.
Yeah, see, Bird chirping. Gets scored his first touchdown of the year and his first 100-yard game of the year. So watch out for Bird to spread his wings.
I'm sure he's looking
to do that. And he's playing against his former teams. I mean, team, not teams. So look for Bird.
We know how guys like to do against the former teams.
Look at JD McKissick. Let's not look at JD McKissick. But so if you're considering Bird, go ahead and throw him in the flex. If you're in a 10 or higher team league, go ahead, throw him in there. If you play daily fantasy like me, he's cheap. Go ahead and get him.
A 10 man league.
Yeah, I said right. Higher than a 10 man league. Yeah.
Oh, I was about to say, maybe a 12 man league.
Or 14. I don't know if I'd be able to play in a 14 team league. That'd be so challenging. But I mean, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah. Can you imagine how frustrating it would be to get waiver wire guys? You and 13 other people are trying to get the same person. You gotta get those steals.
And like you'd have to like really, really think hard about your back to back picks, because you're just gonna be dealing with like the lower tier players after that those back to back picks. Like if you got eighth and then you gotta pick back early in the second round. You gotta really value those. But yeah, go ahead.
So you had the Miami Dolphins playing against the New York Jets. Some injuries in this game from Miami. Tua Tagovailoa is doubtful. He'll probably not play. Savon Ahmed is not going to play. Jakeem Grant, he's questionable. Miles Gaskin, he's coming off of IR, but he's not going to play tomorrow. So Ryan Fitzpatrick will probably get the job. I think Sam Darnold's coming back this week. Either way, I think the Jets will lose this game. I'm actually really surprised on their performance last week against the Broncos. Talking about Miami here, I would be shocked if they lost this game if they don't bounce back from this week. I hope they lose, but just because I need the Ravens to stay alive, but. Nonetheless, I got Miami winning this game, regardless of who's starting at quarterback for either team. Whether if it's Flacco or Darnold on one side or Tagovailoa or Fitzpatrick on the other, I got the Dolphins winning this game. Give me the Dolphins 24-10. 24-13. I would take the under in this game. Under is 44.5. I'd take the under. Yeah. This is going to be... I know I said this for the Dolphins last week, but this is going to be my we're not going to get cute here game of the week.
It's going to be your lock, huh?
Actually, no. I'll do that for another game.
Oh, Vincent's got a little more faith in the Jets and a little less faith in the Dolphins, huh?
Yeah,
the last time these two teams played, the Dolphins shut them out. The Jets did not put any points on the board. And that was the Dolphins team led by Fitz, who's also getting the start tomorrow. And the Jets, based off of last, if you compare them from last to this week, they're a little more healthier than they were last time. They got some guys back. Denzel Mims, their first receiver that they drafted, will be playing. Crowder will be playing. I'm not sure if he played last week. I mean, not last week. The last time these two teams met. But if he wasn't, he's going to be playing tomorrow, and that's going to be big. As their leading receiver, Breshad Perriman, I'm pretty sure he wasn't playing. He's their fastest guy who's been catching touchdowns from Flacco. So I expect the Jets to do a little bit better than they did the last time these two teams played and at least get a number on the board. But nonetheless, I still have Miami beating the Jets. I don't want to give Miami too many points because they lost Preston Williams and they're playing without their two starting running back tomorrow. So all they really got is Parker and Gesicki. So I'm not going to give them too high of a score. So I'll say they'll do 23-10.
Okay, I said 24-10. Yeah. All right, you have the Bengals and the Giants in this game. I'd have faith in the Bengals if Joe Burrow didn't tear his ACL last week. I think the Giants will handle their business. They're 6-point favorite.
No. I do. It was just very bold how you said that, handling their business. Dang.
They should. I mean, I know it's not going to be Ryan Finley behind center. It's going to be Brandon Allen, but, like, I don't know how Brandon Allen's going to do. He'll do better than Ryan Finley would have done. This is a game I'd definitely take the under for, though. 44?
I might take the under. Over, and I'll get into that once I spew my take.
Probably expect both defenses to play.
No, not necessarily, but I'll get into it when it's my turn. I'll let you know.
Yeah. I would take the under on this one. Both of these teams, Bengals are averaging 21 points a game. Giants are averaging 20 points a game. Bengals allow 27 a game. Giants allow around 24. Their rushing totals aren't the best. Bengals have put up some good numbers offensively, prior to their game against Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, putting up 31, 34, and 27. Giants offense is slowly but surely getting better than how they were doing originally, but I still had the Giants winning this one. I think this game is kind of going to be a boring game. The game I'm not really looking forward to seeing. I don't even think I'm going to start Giovanni Bernard in any leagues this week. But with that being said, give me the Giants in this one. I'm going to go 23-13.
Okay. So let's start with the Bengals. As we all know, they had that devastating injury to their number one overall pick franchise QB, Joe Burrow, who's always in the pocket. And they're going to be starting. Yep, you know it. And they're going to be starting this no-name Allen who played for the Broncos last year. And he's I don't know too much about him, but he's got some wheels to him. He's pretty mobile. And the Bengals, they have a very good skill position players. They got Boyd. They still got Green. They got the first receiver they drafted, T. Higgins. Bernard can catch that ball on P-Ron. He's a power runner, so he can run people over. And he can get you some good early chunk yards. So I wouldn't really count the Bengals out too much as far as scoring goes, because like I said, when you got a bunch of skill position players, they help a great deal when you have a mediocre to lower tier quarterback starting, for them to at least be able to help them out a bit and get them down the field and get some short yardage touchdowns. And the Giants, they're playing against a very bad defense who got just completely wrecked by the Steelers. Only put up like 13 points that game. Now granted, I know it was the Steelers, but either way, like, the Bengals defense isn't very good, and the Giants, since week 8, they've been improving. Daniel Jones hasn't thrown a pick since week 8, and he's been doing a lot better at securing, taking good care of the ball and not turning it over. And Gallman has been filling in very well for the loss of their franchise running back, Saquon Barkley. Vincent's got him. I know he's fond of him, as am I. He's been doing good things for our fantasy teams. They got Sterling Shepard back, who's talented receiver. Darius Slayton, Evan Ingram, Golden Tate. I mean, they're loaded across the board as skill position players. It all just rests on Daniel Jones now turning that ball over and being able to get it to them accurately. And over the last few weeks, he's been doing that. And they've been utilizing his skill to be able to run the ball, because he's quicker. He's deceptively quick. You wouldn't expect him to be that quick, as we saw when he failed to get that touchdown run against the Eagles on that Thursday night. He's a lot quicker than people give him credit for, than I expected him to be, at least. So I expect him to, the Giants, to be able to utilize his rushing ability on some read option plays like we saw. Because I think the last game Daniel Jones played, that was the most I'd ever seen them try dial up design run plays for him, and I think he'll have some success doing that against the Bengals. So I can see it going going just barely over 44. I get the Giants. I think the Giants can put up. I think the Giants will give them put up 27 points against these little Bengals. And I got the Bengals getting I said the Bengals will get. Let's see, what did the Bengals get? 20. I say it'll be 27-20. Because the Bengals score two touchdowns and kick two field goals.
All right. We have an AFC South rematch between the Titans and Colts. These teams just played each other a couple weeks ago. Colts handling the Titans. I think it's an appropriate word to say. They beat them 34-17. Colts are a 3-point favorite. Over under is 51.5. I'd probably take the over in this one. Yeah, last time these two teams played, Derrick Henry, he had a decent game. He had over 100 yards. Tannehill didn't have the best game. Went 50 like for 27, 147 yards, yeah, one touchdown.
Played like a dumpster.
Michael Pittman had a breakout game. Naheem Hines had a breakout game with two touchdowns.
They sure did.
Yeah. I think the Colts can carry this momentum. Again, I think they can win this game again. This time they're at home. They're coming off a big win against the Packers in overtime last week. They've won 4 out of 5. They beat the Bengals. They beat the Lions, scoring 31-41. They had a rough game against the Ravens, losing 24-10. But after that, they went back on their offensive tear, scoring 34 against Tennessee and scoring 34 against Green Bay. The Titans have lost 3 out of the last 5. Could have been 4 if the Ravens didn't, you know, choke. But, you know, it's another story for another day. Titans won 30-24 in overtime against the Ravens. They lost to the Colts 34-17. They beat the Bears 24-17. Then they lost to the Bengals 31-20, which makes me mad. How do the Bengals beat the Titans by 11, but we can't even beat the Titans?
That's what I was saying.
That pissed me off. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers gave the Titans their first loss. So the Titans, they started out 5-0, but they've only gone 2-3 in their last 5 games. And I think it'll be 2-4. I think the Colts will continue to carry their momentum into this week. But I would not be surprised if Tennessee won this game. You know, division matchup, anything can happen with these two teams. Adoree Jackson's not going to play either, so Michael Pittman will probably have a good game as well, and maybe other receivers on the Colts team. But yeah, wow. And then Jonathan Taylor won't be playing tomorrow, as his girlfriend had coronavirus, so he's quarantining. He's actually, you know, being responsible. You know, I respect Taylor for doing this. He's not gonna take a chance on getting anybody else sick, and he's just gonna quarantine until he feels like he's ready to come back. But yeah, give me the Colts on this one. Give me the Colts. I think it's gonna be a lot more closer than it was before. I got the Colts 30-27.
Okay. Yeah, the Colts have been better than I expected them to be this year. I didn't believe in Rivers because of how much he was turning the ball over, and that's exactly what he showed me in the first half. But the second half, he's been on a, dare I say, MVP caliber type pace. Not that he's anywhere in the MVP conversation. We know who the top five is, but I'm just saying, like, the performance that he's put forth on display for that team has been very MVP-like, and has made them win a good string of games. So I expect him to continue that against the Titans defense, who isn't really all that. I mean, the Titans are all around well coached. They have a very strong running game. Tannehill, he's not playing as well as I would say he played when he became the starter in the last half of the season last year. Right, Vincent? What do you think? Yeah, because in the last half of last year, people were talking about him, saying if he was playing like that since the beginning when they was playing Mariota, he would have been the MVP. Like, that's how good he was playing. But I think he's playing, you know, well enough. I don't think he's playing at that level that he was before. So they're gonna have to establish the run again with Henry, and he wasn't getting much help from AJ Brown the last time they played. I watched him drop a wide open touchdown on the sideline. So he's going to need a little more help from his skill position players this time. And I expect AJ Brown to have a better game this week than he did the last time these two teams played. And on top of that, we also got to take into account it was a short week on a Thursday night. So I think they'll put up a better fight this Sunday. So, but either way, I still got the Colts winning this 28-27.
Yeah, maybe the Colts DBs will actually be able to tackle
that too. Yeah, that was atrocious. Can't believe that.
Yeah. The Cleveland Browns are playing Jacksonville. I'll tell you what, a few years ago, this would have been the snooze fest of the day. Remember when both of these
teams were
so bad?
Especially the Browns.
The Browns are a 7-point favorite. Point spread 7. Over under is 48.5. I'd probably take.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. From what I understand, Jake Luton.
He's not Mike Glennon, and they don't have Chark or Conley. They're one of their two of their three starting wide receivers. They're not going to have.
Yeah. The last five games, Jaguars have put up 3, 20, 25, 29, 16. I mean, Their offense got better until they played Pittsburgh, but like other than that, not that impressive. Browns have played in 3 straight games of rainy weather. They've had 3 straight home games, and they've all been games where there's been a lot of rain. They lost 16-6 to the Raiders. They beat Houston 10-7, and then they beat Philadelphia 22-17. Denzel Ward won't be playing this game, but I don't think it's going to be much of a factor. I think losing DJ Chark is a little bit more hurts a little bit more than losing Denzel Ward, considering the lack of depth with the Jaguars receivers. You got as you said, Conley and
Chark.
What's his name? Chark. They're not playing. And Dede Westbrook already tore his ACL. So you're looking at Keelan Cole and Laviska Shenault as your starting receivers. Who's behind him in the depth chart?
I have no idea.
Well, whoever it's going to be, they better step up. You probably expect Tyler Eifert to do a little bit more this week as well.
Maybe.
With those receivers out.
Didn't think of that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I got the Browns winning this game 23-13.
Very generous of you, Vincent. Yeah, the Browns are going
to
get.
To give the what? To get the Jaguars
13?
I mean, Mike Glennon.
Yeah,
not
you're
horrible.
Not. Yeah, he's not. You're right. He's just terrible. Yeah, you're right. yeah, my co-anchor Vincent here is being very generous to the Jaguars. They're gonna get annihilated. Okay, the Jaguars. Ever since they played the Texans, you haven't seen a shred of life in that team at all. I know they made it close with Green Bay, but that was because of a Keelan Cole special teams touchdown and a lucky touchdown that also went to Keelan Cole from Luton. Because Luton, like I called to Vince and I said, if he plays well in that Texans game, don't buy into it because that Texans defense is bad. And he hasn't did a thing since. Matter of fact, he's been so bad he's getting benched for Mike Glennon. So
he threw 4
interceptions. Yes, so now he's getting benched for Mike Glennon. So Luton obviously isn't the answer. Y'all need to give it back to Minshew because he's definitely better than any of those other two quarterbacks that are behind him. And the reason that you guys weren't winning wasn't because of Minshew, okay? You guys need to take responsibility for your bad management. Not Minshew's fault. Stop pointing fingers. Anyways, the Jags are going to get annihilated. Browns, they got Chubb back. Hunt is still getting carries. He's still good. The Browns probably got the best rushing attack in football back. And Mayfield, he can play well when they establish the run with those running backs. And the Jags, I mean, they don't do anything well, Vince. They don't have a good defense. They don't have a good offense. Now, the Browns, on the other hand, their defense has stepped up. They got a good pass rush. Like you said, Denzel Ward won't be playing, but I still don't think the Jags are going to do a thing. And Stefanski, he's just very good offensively with that rushing attack. And I think they're going to run all over the Jags. I think Hunt and Chubb are both going to get over 100 yards against that atrocious defense.
They're
both going to get over 100 yards. The Browns are going to annihilate them. The Jags will be lucky to even score a touchdown, but I'll give them one. I say the Browns are beating the Jaguars 35-10.
Is this year we're not going to get
cute? Oh, no. We already know what game that's going to be once you bring it up.
Yeah. All right. Next, we have Carolina and Minnesota. Minnesota, I'm actually really disappointed in them. You win three straight games against division opponents, and then you lose to the Cowboys.
I called it, guys. Just saying.
You ruined your momentum. How do you beat the Packers, but you lose to the Cowboys? And I mean, it's not like you were handicapped either. You had Dalvin Cook, you know, at your service, you know. But yeah, I'm really disappointed in them. You know, Jefferson and Thielen, they had some pretty good games, especially Thielen. But I don't know. But I still think they'll try to get back on track with a win against Carolina. Carolina's lost 4 or 5. They won their last game 20-0 against Detroit. Before that, they lost against the best team, which is understandable, by 2. But then they lost 3 straight division games. They lost to Tampa Bay, Atlanta, and New Orleans. So Panthers aren't really looking like a team that's going to contend anymore. Vikings, I know they're not that much better, but yeah, I'm trying to figure this out. Have the Panthers not had a bye week yet?
Yeah, they haven't. Their bye week is week 13.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought all the bye weeks were over.
It's pretty late in the season.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyway. I think the Vikings are going to come out on top here. Kirk Cousins, he's been playing pretty well. Jefferson's been playing well. I think Dalvin Cook, he's going to run all over that bad defense, that bad rushing defense. Christian McCaffrey's going to miss his third straight game. Yeah, I got the Vikings winning this game 27-20. I think Bridgewater is coming back this week too.
Yeah, he is against his old Minnesota Vikings team. He's gonna show out.
Oh yeah. Oh, that might be a little momentum shift, huh?
Carolina's winning this game. So.
I'll still take Minnesota though. I like PJ Walker though, but I mean Bridgewater's earned this spot as a starter. Sure. Vikings 3-point favorite. Would you take a 3-point favorite?
Nope, because they ain't even winning.
Oh, you're picking against them for the second week in a row.
Oh, is it my turn? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Few things about those losses the Panthers had. One of them against Atlanta was on a Thursday night, and Bridgewater came out and didn't play like half the fourth quarter, so that would have made a difference. On top of that, we're talking about the Chiefs, the Saints, and the Bucks, who are among probably the top 5 teams in the NFL. Maybe not the Bucks anymore, but the Chiefs and Saints are definitely in the top 5. So that's understandable. And they took it pretty close with the Chiefs.
67 yards.
Yeah, see, so the Panthers are by no means a bad team. They have a bunch of good weapons at receiver and DJ Anderson and Curtis. And it's said that their three-headed receiver leads the league in yards. So the Vikings are going to be without Thielen. They're going to have to establish the run with Dalvin Cook, which I think they will do. But I think not having Thielen is going to hurt Cousins a little bit. And I don't think they'll do bad. I think they'll still, you know, put up some points. But I think the Panthers are going to have that little extra motivation. They won last week. They're getting Bridgewater back. Bridgewater's playing his old Vikings team. And I think that they're going to do enough to hand the Vikings this loss after losing to one of the worst teams in the NFL. And I got the Panthers winning this game 26-20.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Sure did.
All right, we got another NFC South team. The Atlanta Falcons are hosting the Las Vegas Raiders. I'll take under. I think a lot of people are expecting this game to be closer.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be all that close. It might be, though. Atlanta's at home. Both offenses play pretty well. Over-under's 53.5. I take the over.
What? No way. They're lose. They don't have Hill or Julio. I mean, they don't have Gurley or Julio.
Well, they're questionable.
Well, right Gurley's now. Out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. Gurley
Julio's trending towards Gurley's not out. Playing, so I don't think the Falcons. I don't think those two teams are going over 53. But
that's
I fair. Mean, I could see them combining for like 48, but 53, that's like one of the highest. 53 is one of the highest. One of the, pretty sure it's the top three highest over under behind the Chargers and the Chiefs game.
Yeah. Well, we know the Raiders don't really have the best defense.
Yeah, but their defense is, besides Mahomes, their defense kind of played better besides that game.
Yeah. Well, both teams give up 27.5.6 points per game. Yeah. So, Raiders score 3 more points a game. Atlanta gets 23 more yards a game than them. They both allow around 400 yards total a game. But yeah, that Falcons team, I thought they would have played a lot better last week against New Orleans, even with Taysom Hill starting. But I got the Raiders winning this one. I'm going to get the Raiders for this one to put up 33 on them. I'd say 33 to 24.
All yep. right.
I don't know. I'm giving the Falcons a little too much
love. No, I mean, you always love the Falcons and their offense. Because you mean like Matty
Ice. Yeah, I'm a stick. Yeah,
because you said Matty Ice is your favorite QB, so that probably plays into it too. But the Carr, he's playing his best football since the MVP season. Not MVP season, but the MVP caliber season that he had before he got hurt that year. And Gruden seems like he's really figuring out in his third year as their head coach. And they're looking like a team to be reckoned with going into the playoffs once or if they make it. And the Falcons, they got no playoff hope. They had a horrendous outing against the Saints last week. They're going to be without Gurley. Their starting running back might be without Julio. So I don't really see their offense generating that many points. I know the Raiders' defense isn't that good, but I think it'll be good against the Falcons this Sunday. Matt Ryan, he's gaining a lot of yards, but they just weren't translating the points last week, and I think he'll get some yards, but I think they'll end up having to settle for field goals because they won't have that touchdown machine Gurley, because Gurley's quietly been scoring a lot of touchdowns, and they're not going to have that big target of Julio. He's just going to have to work with what he has, and I don't think it'll be good enough to put up that many points against the Raiders. So I think the Raiders win this game 27 27-18 Falcon.
All right, not bad.
28-18, yeah. Yeah.
Raiders, right? Okay. Sound like you said Falcons for a second. All right, here we go, Carwin. We're not going to get cute here, especially with one of these teams not having a starting quarterback this week. The Saints are playing against the Broncos. Drew Lock isn't playing. Brett Ripien isn't playing. Blake Bortles isn't even playing. Jeff Driscoll is the reason why these guys aren't playing. There's no over-under. There's no money line. There's no point spread now. Give me the Saints on this one. I don't even know what the score is going to be, but just give me the Saints on this one. Give me the Saints 30-3.
Yeah, the Broncos, good thing is Broncos defense isn't like horrendous. So maybe they can keep them, the Saints, from scoring too much, but they're still going to lose. Taysom will be looking to throw his first touchdown pass as a starting quarterback. Last week, he scored those touchdowns running the ball, and I think he was a pleasant surprise to most people.
He needs to go back to being a tight end.
But yeah, I think he was a pleasant surprise to most people who thought Peyton should have made Jameis a starting QB instead. And I think as of right now, we see he made the right decision. So I think Taysom will get his first touchdown pass against the Broncos, and I think he'll run for two again. And I think the Saints are going to get a pick six against the Broncos if they do decide to throw the ball. So we got the Saints winning this 35-0.
You know, there's got to be an over-under on how many pass attempts. Maybe there's in-game over-unders. Like, how many pass attempts will the Broncos have?
I think they'll have 15.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Hold on. All right, say that again.
I said it sounds like an old mill offense. 15 passing attempts a game.
It's not even like they have the great of a rushing back to be doing that either. If it was like the Vikings playing without Kirk Cousins or something, and you were like saying, all right, saying to Dalvin Cook and Madison, like, you're each going to get 25 carries this game, I would be more believable in them having a chance than Melvin Gordon and Pillip.
Yeah. I'd be mad if I was a Justin Jefferson or Adam Thielen fantasy over that happened. Anyway, the San Francisco 49ers are playing against the Rams. They're expecting to bring some guys back this weekend. Guys like Jeff Wilson Jr. and Richard Debo. Sherman and Raheem Mostert. Debo Samuel's coming back, so they're going to be getting some guys back next week. Tevin Coleman will be coming back.
He can stay right on the bench. I hope he gets well, though.
Los Angeles Rams, only a 6.5-point favorite.
Over-under is low, too.
Over-under is 44.5. George Kittle is still the leading receiver, and he's missed like
five games this year. It'll be Debo. Ayuk ain't playing, though. Dang.
Yeah, Ayuk is not playing. So, I think the Rams win this one without too much of a problem. I know it's a division game. Anything can happen. But I think the Rams will be just fine for this game. I got the Rams in this one. They're playing really well. And they've played some good football against some pretty good teams. And, you know, you beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by 3 on Monday night. You beat the Seattle Seahawks. They lost to the Dolphins by 11 points. You know, I'm surprised they lost to them, but they beat those other two teams. They did lose the first matchup to San Francisco. So don't get me wrong, San Francisco has a chance, but I just think I like how the Rams have been playing recently. Give me the Rams on this one. I'm gonna do 23-16. Rams haven't lost the game at home either. And the 49ers have lost 3 in a row. So yeah. They still have some injuries, but they got a few guys coming back.
Let's see.
I'll take
the under. It's 44. The Rams are gonna score like at least 26. And the Niners, like we said, they're getting some pieces back. I think they'll make it over 44.
What are the odds that Mostert gets hurt?
None. Tomorrow? Like I said, we ain't speaking on that. So, the Rams, they've been on a pretty good pace of winning games. I think they're on pace to do better than they did last year, not even making the playoffs, to now division leader. And I think a lot of that has to do with McVay needing to adapt to a different scheme, because people seemed like they caught on to him after that first year of success he had when the Rams made it to the Super Bowl, and he's been doing a good job of that. So they've been rotating through three different running backs, been okay, but they got Kupp and Woods, who've been the strength of their offense so far. Higbee and Everett are two good athletic tight ends, and I think they'll be looking to score some good, decent amount of points against an injury deficited Niners team. Mustard will be back. Debo, Ayuk won't be there. Sherman will be back. And Garoppolo still won't be the starter, but I think the Niners, if they lean on a good rushing attack, I think they can put some points up, at least enough to keep them within the game. And Debo, he's going to be the best receiver that they got. And they still got Reed, too, who has performed pretty good, I would say, in Kittle's place. And I think the game will be not very low scoring, but not super high scoring at the same time. I think it'll be 26-18.
Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough, fair enough. All right.
Nah, 26-19.
You know that.
26-20 instead.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. I was about to say. All right, Kansas City and Tampa Bay. Everybody wants to see that. Yep, that game will be called by Jim Nance and Tony Romo on CBS at 4:25. Brady's going against Mahomes. I think they're 1-1 against each other, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Or are they 2-2 against each other? I wish I had that stat with me right now. I know they've. It could be 1-1. This is
my 30 year.
What?
Yeah, 30 year start. Fourth year in the league, 30 year start.
They played each other in the AFC Championship. Mahomes lost that matchup. They didn't play each other in the playoffs last year. They did play each other in the regular season.
Right.
Patriots may have won that game. Anyway, 3.5-point favorite. Over's 56. Over under's 56. Over.
Yeah.
Over for sure. Chiefs are just the best team in the league. Mm. I'm sorry. I don't think there's anybody that can beat them. Well, I have them. I have those two teams playing against each other in the Super Bowl. I don't like how Tampa Bay has been playing against tough competition. They lost to the Rams in a close one. Tom Brady had plenty of time to get a game-winning drive or a game-tying drive.
He made a really bad.
Yeah, you know, there's a big stat where he's like plus really yards. Bad with throws of like, yeah, 20 plus air yards. Yeah, so that's a big issue. But like he's never been that guy to like throw a bunch of air yard. You know, when he was in New England, it was always 9 yards to Edelman.
White.
You know, White. 10 yards to Gronk. James White, you know, a dump off for 5 yards and then he would get some yards after the catch. So, you know, in recent memory, Brady hasn't been that guy to have a whole bunch of air yard completions. He's not Patrick Mahomes who can actually like make those throws. No disrespect to the GOAT, Tom Brady, but in about 20 years, there will be a new GOAT. His name's Patrick Mahomes. Give me the Chiefs on this one. I got the Chiefs 37-30. Hey, okay. Actually,
Yeah, yeah, the Chiefs. The key to Tom Brady is pressure, and the Chiefs don't really generate pressure like that, so I think Tom Brady is going to have a clean pocket for most of the game to be able to dial up those quick throws and that he likes and maybe even some 20-plus yard throws, but he just needs the time in the pocket, and Arians' offense is that kind of offense that likes to air the ball down the field, so it's new to Tom Brady. He's having to convert from that short, conservative passing offense that he was used to in New England with Bill Belichick to this down the field throwing offense that Arians has and Brady has, probably next to the Chiefs, the most weapons with a bunch of Pro Bowl receivers. I mean, matter of fact, the whole three, Mike, Godwin, Brown, all made Pro Bowls. Same with Gronk, and he's got a lot of his disposal to work with to be able to score some points on this average Chiefs defense. Maybe even, dare I say, a little bit low average. They have some playmakers. They got Tyrann Mathieu, but them collectively as a whole, they're not as bad as they were when Mahomes won the MVP. I'll give them that. But they're still able to get points put on them, as we've seen by the Panthers and the Raiders recently. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Don't got to say too much about the Chiefs. You know what they're going to do. Mahomes is going to do his thing. Watkins is back, though. I'll acknowledge that. And, maybe. But still, makes them even better with that extra speed alongside Hill. So Hill, Watkins, Kelsey, Hardman, and Robinson can still catch passes. Edward Solaire has been a good rookie running back. So I think this game will end up being 42-37.
All right.
Yeah.
Ooh, really high scoring. I'm thinking it's college or something.
Because the Bucks. My bad. I also got to mention the Bucks defense isn't as good as they started out to be. As we've seen, they keep getting scored on. I mean, Herbert scored plenty points on them. That was when he was so early in the season as a rookie. And
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, like, what was going on with Rodgers that game? Because that was a game that made everybody think they had, like, this really good defense, but Herbert can score on them. Who did they play? The Saints. The Saints did a bunch of scoring on them, even though it's the Saints, still the Saints. And the Rams did better than I thought. Goff had maybe arguably his best game of the season against them. So that just says a lot, that what you need to know, that the Bucks defense is a little bit overrated and they can be scored on. So, yeah, that's what I got to say.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, he's playing against the Chicago Bears this weekend. Bears started out 5-1. They've lost 4 in a row. They're not that good. They've scored 13, 17, 23, and 10.
That's over under is really low, too.
44. I'd probably take.
Just the fact that Green Bay is going to score, I feel like I would take the over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we said the same thing with Aaron Jackson. Look what happened.
But they put a smell of points against one of the best defenses in the Colts, though.
Yeah. Bears average 19 points a game. The Packers average 31.
Combine that, that's 50.
Yeah, for sure. I don't expect Aaron Jones to have the best game. Maybe he'll have a lot of scrimmage yards, but in terms of running the ball, he's not going to get over 100 yards. At least I don't think so. Bears average 78 rushing yards a game. I got the Packers winning this one. Give me the Packers 33-13. No. Sunday night, it'll be a little bit more competitive. I'm going to say 27-13. Marquez Valdez Scantling and Equanimous St. Brown, the two law firms on that team, are questionable.
Wait, Equanimous St. Brown and who else?
Marquez Valdez.
Oh, no, he need to redeem himself. He shouldn't be questionable, but all right.
Well, this was on the 27th, so it's it'll almost be a couple of days.
All right, Green Bay is going to slaughter the Bears. The Bears don't have good quarterback play. They got a good defense, but Green Bay can do pretty well against good defenses, like we've seen against the Colts. So I don't think. That's the only game. I don't know what it was, but I don't think the Bears are going to generate enough points to be able to keep up with Green Bay. I think they'll be able to generate some just because Green Bay's defense isn't that good, but not enough. I think the Bears are going to, I mean, not the Bears. I think Green Bay is going to get 28. The Bears will get 14. So,
Seattle's playing the Eagles. Last year, these two teams played, I think the Eagles won that game. Could be wrong, but I got Seattle winning this game. Carson Wentz has 14 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. I think he has a few.
He's on pace for Jameis numbers.
He sure is. Miles Sanders is going to play. And Russell Wilson's the leading rusher on this team. I think Chris Carson's
set to come back. He is. He got taken off the injury report.
Yeah. Wow. Travis Homer's not going to play. That's interesting. DK Metcalf, he's probably going to go off. Seattle's 5.5-point favorite. Over-under's 49. Would you take the over on this one?
Wait, what did you say? 44.5? 49. No, I ain't taking over on this.
Yeah, I mean, they played well. The Seattle has. They scored 28. They scored 16, 34, 27, or 37, 34 last five games. But I don't think they would go over just because of the Eagles. But I got Seattle winning this game. I'm going to say 30-17. I think this is going to be a boring Monday night game, to be honest.
I think Russell's offense will make it entertaining. But, Seattle, they've been in a little bit of a slump, but they're looking to get back right after that win against the Cardinals, which was a big divisional win. And Russell is still Russell, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's still got Metcalf, Lockett, Chris Carson coming back. That'll help. So, and also on top of that, Wentz is just way too turnover prone. He turns the ball over way too much. He's not going to be able to stay in the game and win that way. So they're going to be playing catch up the whole time because of his turnovers. So I think the Seahawks are going to win this game 20. I don't think the Seahawks are going to do too much of an offensive explosion just because the Seahawks got a decent front, and it looks like that they want to establish more running the ball because Russell was turning it over a little bit more than they would like it to, and they got Chris Carson back, so I think they'll get around 27. So 27-10 Eagles. And the Seahawks defense has gotten a little more improved too, so yeah, 27-10.
Yeah, they held the Rams to 23 and Cardinals to 21. That's not bad. Last game, it certainly will be the least, as in the Ravens will have the least amount of players on their roster this week.
At least they got a quarterback.
I mean, I'd rather have RG3
than Brown, Hollywood Brown.
I don't know who our emergency quarterback is,
Duvernay,
to be honest. I don't know. Oh my God, there's no over under money line or spread.
No.
I got the Steelers winning this game. I had the Steelers winning this game even if Lamar and company were playing. I'm just not happy at all. Oh, Jalen Samuels is out.
Uh-oh. Get McFarlane.
Yeah. I mean, Benny Snell.
Yeah,
or him.
One of those too. But the Steelers are gonna. They're gonna plow this team. They got a bunch.
All right.
Like you just said.
I mean, let's be nice.
I'm not wrong.
Nice. I mean, you're not wrong, but you didn't have to say that.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
Good Lord.
I think the Ravens will get 13 points, and the Steelers will get 30. So yeah, it'll be 13-30. It's fair. No, actually 14-30.
All right, I got the Steelers winning this game. We don't have anybody. I mean, we don't have a D line. We don't have an O line. We don't have running backs. We don't have quarterbacks. Mark Andrews might not even play this week. And then he already lost.
What? Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
but he'll play. That's a whole extra day, too.
He good.
Yeah, he good.
2 days. Extra 5.
See, yeah, he good. He good, though. He good. I got
him. Derek Wolfe might not even play. We'll see. All I know is Steelers are going to win this game. There's, if they lose this game, it's embarrassing.
They'll stay undefeated. Let me look at the schedule and see who can knock these stupid Steelers off their undefeated streak.
The Buffalo Bills are the only team that has a chance. I got the Steelers winning this game 33-17. I think RGG will put together a couple of good drives, but it's not going to be enough. I hope I'm wrong, but the Steelers are winning this game. I say that confidently. Call me a bandwagon or what the hell ever, but I'm not biased when it comes to sports.
So it's looking like the Steelers can, like you said, lose to the Bills or the Colts week 16. So other than that, it should definitely be easy wins. They're playing the Washington football team and the Bengals outside of those games that I named. So, yep.
They played, who else? Did they play the Browns one more time? They played the Browns one more time, right?
Yeah, week 16.
And then don't they still have a game against the who else? Oh, they
yeah, I said that. Yeah, week 16, they got the Colts. Yeah. So hopefully they lose one of those, because I don't want to see them go undefeated. It'll look weird.
I mean, hey, you know, you don't get prizes for being undefeated in the regular season. Just ask the Patriots. Sure. But yeah, Steelers by far the best team offensively and defensively in this division.
Who would have thought the Browns would have been behind them?
That's kind of bad. It's crazy because the Browns have scored 30 less points than us, and then they've allowed 64 more points than us. 66 more points than us.
How'd that happen? 66? So,
yeah, they've allowed 261 points.
Probably that shootout game with the Dallas and the Bengals. Those were the biggest shootouts that the Browns had.
Yeah. Also, they got blown out
that
by
too. And then the low point scoring. That's from those dead streak of bad games with the weather, probably.
Those rainy games.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Carlin, thank you so much for being on here again. I'll probably listen to this while I'm at work as well.
Yeah. Appreciate you having me. Always look forward to it. And I'll be ready to hop back on here next week if you want to.
Yeah. You got a top five? Top five teams.
I ain't doing no order, but I'm just name them. I'm gonna do say the Chiefs, Saints. Bills. Green Bay. And the Colts got to be top five right now.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. You ready? Give it to me. Number five, the LA Rams. Why?
I thought you were really going to ride it out to the end.
No. This is 5-1. Give me the Rams. Give me the Saints. No. Give me the Rams. Give me the Bills. Give me the Saints.
I forgot about the Steelers. Actually, no, they're not in my top five because all the teams I named in my top five, I think, would beat the Steelers. I think the Chiefs would beat the Steelers. I think the Saints would beat the Steelers. I think the Bills would beat the Steelers. I think Green Bay and Indianapolis would beat the Steelers. So, yeah, they're not in my top five. All right,
so you're expecting the Steelers to finish?
Yeah, they are.
This year.
If they beat the Bills, then I'll give it to them. But other than that, I ain't giving it to them. That's the best top five team.
All right. Thank you, Carwin. Thank you to those that were listening to this. Before or after these week 17 games, and
Anytime. I'll be ready to to talk back, talk some more sports on here with you guys next weekend. So have a good weekend, guys. I hope y'all had a good Thanksgiving, and looking forward to next.